Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, apparently he did pick Stanley first, I guess. I don't remember. I thought it was Daryl he picked first, but he picked Stanley first. Because Stanley. What? Yeah, that's racist, isn't it? It's racist.
No point would I have ever picked Stanley. First.
No. Daryl, maybe. I wouldn't pick Kevin first. I don't care. Now, once you see Kevin's sweet shot, then you're, oh, wait a minute. If we have a little tryout.
I would have probably picked Jim first.
If I'm
just basing it on, he's kind of a longer, leaner guy.
And you know, Dwight might even bring a pocket knife.
I've seen Dwight's act whenever Michael Scott beat him up in.
Right, in jiu-jitsu or whatever it was.
He didn't even take a class.
No. But you know Dwight will bring a pocket knife or something and stab you in you're trying to go up for a rebound.
Focus. I started watching a show that Almighty Dollar told me about that you guys got to watch, but I'm gonna focus.
Okay. Well, let's get some. We got calls in here. What the hell? Well, let's get Rocky in here. What do you say, Rocky?
Hey guys. I hate doing it, but you need to give credit to Dell because he did hit that one spot on with Stanley. I would personally have gone Jim. First overall, because it's tall, lanky, ball handler. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I was one of those delusional guys that went to law school thinking I could be a sports agent. Wound up getting funneled into the athletic compliance department just about 10 years ago at the University of Pittsburgh. Okay, and this is Pitt. This isn't Alabama. This is in Texas. This isn't LSU. This is Ohio State. Seeing how these kids live on a day-in, day-out basis, by mean kids, I mean primarily football, basketball players, Now I've written answer papers still. I'm going back and doing some other classes and stuff and, you know, something I'm vaguely familiar with, so easy for me to write about. But the average college Division I athlete, and this applies to girls gymnastics just as much as it does to men's football, between training tables, between the academic study hours and the tutors that they get for free, the book scholarships, the living stipends, it averages out, I mean, it depends on what part of the country you're in, to $128,000 a year worth of, I don't want to say free, because, you know, they're playing for it, they're earning it, but these amenities and opportunities that, I'll be straight up with you, most of these kids, especially football, basketball, wouldn't qualify to get into the university unless, you know, they were athletes and they went through the actual they have to go through a special process where they're approved by the coach and in front of the board of regents and stuff like that. At least that's how we did it at Pitt. But this argument that's been going on for 15, 20 years, pay these kids, pay these kids, pay these kids, you know, they're getting by on hand sandwiches. That's not true. Their training tables, it was like going to Perry's for brunch. I mean, you had everything from ribs and pork and steaks. And I mean, the whole nine yards, you have dietitians, you have, There's not one. You have a life skills coach who looks at you once a week and says, okay, you know what? Here's how you balance your checkbook, which is something I sure as hell didn't learn until I was like 25, 26 years old. I mean, the opportunities for Division I athletes are ample. I think paying them would be just opening up a slippery slope that we sure as hell really can't go down. Because at that point, okay, you got the Ohio State, Alabama's literally paying the best kids, they're becoming professional teams. And then, you know, what's the difference between Alabama, where you got the entire state dumping $20 trillion into the program, versus like the Jacksonville Jaguars? It's just going to convolute everything. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, the kids, they're doing okay. They're doing okay. That whole argument about Hey, listen, I want to see them get paid too. I want to get their share. But I would like to see the market pay them. It's so stupid, and it's going to be coming into effect. Let the kids use their likeness. Let the kids have websites. Let the kids do commercials. Let the kids sign autographs. Let them make their own money outside of what do you care what they make NCAA? Why do you care? Because they're really, really good folks. If they were really good cellists, guess what? They would be in an orchestra somewhere making money. Or if they were really, really smart at science or a computer, they could work for a company while they're going to college or not.
You should let players work for like computer companies or whatever. If there's a player who wants to work there, you should be able to.
Yes. He should be able to.
If that's the job they want, to work in computers or whatever.
Right.
To have a real job and salary, that's fine. If you can keep up your school stuff and your athletic commitments and still have a job working in computer field,
well,
go
not
ahead.
That. Not computer. I said if a kid can. Well, they are a regular student can go do that, but an athlete can't.
Let an athlete, too. Huh? But he still has to do school and athletic endeavors because they're getting scholarships. A regular student typically doesn't. But that's not even what this is about. This is about specifically we got into a completely different. The topic is whether or not that's taking advantage of the players for playing college football. And what we're telling you is that, A, it is going to be way safer than for other students, any students anywhere. And this guy's tweet was specifically, if no one's on campus.
It's even safer.
That's way safer. As long as you don't go out and act a fool in, for example, Austin, where he said he's a Longhorn, it limits completely limits exposure to a group of people who are just being tested. Anything you do outside of that, that's on you.
Yeah.
You're doing that anyway.
Like,
one's asking you to go, go hit this or do this or do this.
Limit your exposure to girls because they're dangerous. Okay, in so many ways,
but there really is. I mean, there really is a.
Where's your gavel? Dell wants you to hit the gavel.
Well, I didn't think that was worthy of hitting the gavel.
He just called women dangerous.
They're dangerous
in so many ways.
They're the most dangerous species, aren't they? Well, I mean, this is a proven fact.
I feel like lions and sharks might be. But
did you see Correa was not doing great in a simulated season?
What the hell?
You're co-signing this? What did you say?
And Brooke, I saw it happen with Andre. The Andre Agassi, Brooke Shields thing was a huge eye-opener for me. I'm like, man, he was good before, bad during, good after.
Well, wasn't he with Steffi Graf after?
Yeah,
but she wasn't the dangerous
species.
But she's
a tennis player.
Yeah.
But she's still a
woman. He was with his own kind.
What? What?
Hold on.
What do you mean own kind?
There we go.
A tennis player? Because she's a woman, too.
Yeah. But she's still dangerous. Yes.
But less dangerous than Brooke Shields?
Yes, much less dangerous than Brooke Shields.
Should have hit that gavel 3 minutes ago.
I just say this. If you don't play football this year, all this high and mighty peacocking on social media, we'll see how you like it when the athletes that you say you're looking out for, your student athletes, are eliminated from scholarship contention anymore because there are no programs. I mean, that's what's going to happen for a lot of these, especially non-Power 5. They're going to get wiped out. Some of them are going to get wiped out anyway.
Yep. Let's get Lorenzo in here on ESPN 975. Hey, Lorenzo.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
Morning.
It's a question and a comment, and they're both in the same category. I went to school at an HBCU, Southern University, go Jack, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And my question, and I guess comment at the same time, is what are y'all's thought processes on these smaller programs? I can tell you that besides the ban, which is a very rare case because we're worldwide known and everything, but besides the ban, the football team is almost the only revenue towards the athletic program. So, and when the last caller, he was talking about programs like Pitt and Alabama, and I think that these programs easily get lost. I guess it's understandable when you talk about the actual revenue of it all, the scope of it all, but these programs like Pitt, you talk about, these kids, because they got it great, it's not the same across the board. Like, I remember one year at Grambling, one of our rival schools, Grambling, our athletes wouldn't even go into the locker room because there was mold there. Now, that's a whole other level of, issues, but that just gives an example of what I'm trying to get at is just getting an understanding of, what's the comparative, or is it even given thought? These smaller programs that don't have the advantages where the kids don't have these laid out locker rooms like Alabama and Texas. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Well, see, that's even more complicated because what you're laying out there, Lorenzo, is so when we say when I say and I think John means this too, when I say non-Power Five, I mean everybody who's not Power Five. But of course, and that includes HBCUs, Sun Belt, Division II, Division III, but obviously there's going to be some HBCUs, Division II schools, Division III, the NAIA, that are going to be, I think, if they don't play any football and generate any revenue, and once again, I'm not even sure how they're going to generate revenue this year, schools that are smaller who don't have TV deals of note. I don't see how they're going to that point. I mean, if you don't have the money for the testing that needs to be done, if you don't have the money for the cleaning that needs to be done, and many of these programs don't. The board, not just HBCUs, but many, including Group of Five conference teams. I mean, teams you recognize, names you have, their financial situation is going to be very dire. They're not going to have the ability to do what we're talking about with a lot of the Power Five conferences. So I'm not sure about them because you could make the argument, well, you know, if you think it's safe, I think the main thing is if you can afford to have them tested, then you have a very good shot of having players play because then you can monitor things and they want to keep it below 5%. That supposedly is the guideline, to stay below 5% and you really want it below 2%. But if you can't keep things from spreading, if you don't have just basic necessities to try to keep things, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that what happens at an ACC school is what's going to happen at a Division II school. I don't know.
Oh, it's way different. No, it's not even close.
So that's what I'm saying. So would close. The argument be?
So listen.
Should they play or not play, John?
Division II, you know, we've already seen the Ivy League. More than likely, unless we see some kind of breakthrough, then they're going to have to move the spring or not have any fall sports, just skip the year. Because they're probably losing money anyway. You know what? Skip the year of Division II football, 1AA football, or whatever.
That's what SWAC is going to do.
That's what SWAC is doing. Right. MEAC is doing. The teams that are really in dire straits, because I've already talked to Dana about this. The American is going forward. The American says, we're spending the money. We're going to get tested. We are going to play. We're playing in the fall. We're doing it. We're acting like a Power Five. We're acting like a Power Five conference because they feel like they're Power Five conferences.
But if they need people in the stands, which they do because their TV deals aren't great, wouldn't it be more feasible in the spring?
Well, they're probably going to have people in the stands, first of all.
I can't see state government on the state level, Governor Abbott, allowing. Once again, we still have like a month to go, not a lot longer to go. I can't see more than 25%.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have 75%?
Yeah.
If you're Houston in the spring?
Yeah, but you're not going to. You can't do it in the. You can't. The spring is just not. It's not going to be an option for big schools. And the American is feeling like they're a big school. So the problem is for like Conference USA. The problem is for Mountain West. The problem is for the tweeners that don't, because American has, outside of the Power Five, they have the best television deal. Since they have the biggest, they have the biggest schools, and so their television deal is going to help them get through this. But Conference USA, wow! Yeah. How is Rice going to get through this?
Yeah, you know, the American they've already done the thing where they put the Power Six logo on the back of the helmets, on the first down markers. They don't want anything to do with you trying to divide them and put them in a lower bracket.
They feel like they are Power Five.
Yeah, they don't want any part of that.
And they're going to act like it. They're acting like Power Five.
It might be to their detriment, though, financially, is what I'm saying. If you kept everything in, if you're not playing teams out of conference and you have the ability to get 60% of your stadium full versus 25% of your stadium full, I mean, that's a big loss. That's a big loss for those teams. Yeah. And I get that they want to all, because they all want to position themselves for if there's the big cutaway, which this year could be. And I understand that a lot of people believe that this is the year where you've mentioned it, I think.
Yeah.
That, well, a lot of people who I've heard around this show have talked about the fact that this could be the year where Group 5, we already know it's coming anyway.
Yeah.
It's been in the works. It's been the chasm between the middle class. It's really the middle class is being eliminated from college athletics. It's really going to be the haves and have-nots. And this could be the year where a lot of teams get kind of wiped out financially, even if they do get a play, there's still the losses are going to be so substantial for them that we could see the group of five feasibly saying, look, nothing against these other teams, but power look five. How many teams, I mean, Power Five saying, I mean, a lot of these programs just they got can't. Wiped no. out. I mean,
we're at a different level than they are. So, and we're going to start acting, and we're going to act like it. Hey, they already want, there's already action towards Power Five only playing Power Five and not playing group of five schools.
The American hasn't been one of the conferences who has said they're only conference only, right? Because they want
potential. They want games. And, oh, by the way, that's how they'll get paid. That is another way they get paid.
One of their teams.
We'll play you.
Yeah, one of their teams, Temple, has a game, a pay game versus Miami on the 5th. Now the AC has come out, and allegedly their favorite plan right now is to push the season back to the 12th or the 19th or the 26th. Just push it back a little bit and only play 10 ACC games and one non-ACC game. I imagine Temple would still want to be that game for Miami because they won't payday, but they won't be.
They won't be. All right, I'll tell you who wants to be your realtor, who wants to sell your home. That's the Lance Loken Group. And listen, if you're somebody who is selling homes and you want to work for it's literally the biggest sales real estate company in the world, the number one. This group, the Loken Group, is just unbelievable. And they make the guarantees to you that they guarantee that they'll sell your house. They guarantee that they'll give you an immediate cash offer. You don't even have to do anything. Hey, how much for my house? We'll buy it. The Lance Loken Group will buy it right now. And I was just on a conference call with Lance, and I mean, you want to talk about one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. He and his wife, and they're just so nice, and what they do is unbelievable. He has built this thing into the largest in the world, and there's story after story about people. And here's the deal is right now, this is the best time to sell your house. There are more buyers out there than sellers. So you're getting, it's like an auction for your home. You're getting more for your home than you would. And with the Loken Group and the people that they have access to, the number of buyers, it turns into an auction. Well, I'll put a bid on this house. Well, I'll bid more. I'll bid more. I'll bid more. And all of a sudden, you're getting more than your asking price. This is happening all the time. So if you're looking to sell your home, this is a great time to do it. TheLokenGroup.com, LOKEN. TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624 or TheLokenGroup.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
And wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. You got a comp. Russell Wilson is a second baseman. Come on.
We're watching first pitch compilations. The Miz, have you ever seen his? The wrestler? He's left-handed, and he looks like he throws it. Yeah, 50's not great.
50's terrible. The mayor of Cincinnati.
He's famous, the mayor of Cincinnati.
It's the worst ever.
The Miz first pitch. Here you go. Watch this because he looks like, and he's a lefty, and the way that he kicks his leg and everything, he looks like he's a relief pitcher. First of all, he's a good athlete. I mean, he's a pro wrestler now. He was on all the road rules and...
I don't know.
And
what is the Miz?
What was the other one? Road Rules and Real World. You see him first because he's a lefty and he's setting up like that. He looks like a reliever. Mm-hmm. You see his delivery?
Man. Holy crap.
Oh, he must have played high school. He must have been a high school pitcher.
Yeah.
Because that looks like a pitcher.
The Miz. Never heard of him.
Mike,
I don't even know what that is.
Miz or whatever.
I'm sure.
It's wrestling.
I'm sure Snacks can tell
me
all about it.
I'll call you.
Yeah.
He'll let you know.
Bradley, what's going on, Bradley? Let's get him in here.
What's going on, guys? I had two things to say. First, I think we're going to find it interesting whenever football doesn't have fans in there. There's a lot of schools, like, for instance, I know LSU prop the football program props up the rest of the entire school because they're always running in a deficit and the budget's terrible over in the state of Louisiana. So I know it won't affect the big flagships like LSU, but I'm sure it'll trickle down and become an effect on some of the smaller schools like ULM and all those.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I wanted to see who do y'all think is going to be the first coach to intentionally spread and give all their players coronavirus so none of their star players have to sit out 2 weeks during the middle of the season? I feel like that's a Nick Saban move. Maybe he doesn't believe in this thing, and he's going to spread it to them on purpose so he doesn't have any his quarterback sit out for 2 weeks. What do y'all think?
Well, I think Clemson's already done that.
Yeah, Dabo has made it clear. Yeah. We're not shutting down anything. 37 people test positive. Let's keep going.
Now, Herman did say, he said, I can't give out numbers. He said, but yeah, here's when we got hit the hardest, when we first got here.
Yeah.
Got destroyed by it. And now that we've got the kids, guess what? He said, I can't tell you numbers, but it's basically zero.
Well, Oklahoma's telling people numbers because they had zero positive tests. They tested 96 football student athletes on Wednesday, got back no positives.
Zero, right. So that tweet just bothers me. Oh, you're putting these kids' lives in danger.
I wouldn't even answer.
They're actually making them safer. You're making them safer when they are in an environment where they have to follow protocols and where people are on top of them, watching them, making sure that they're staying healthy, making sure that they're social distancing, that they're wearing masks. That's the environment that you need kids in, because kids are what? Well, they're kids. And they're going to do dumb things, and they're going to take chances because they don't care. But if you're on top of them, telling them that they have to follow these protocols, then guess what? They're going to be safer. And now you're finding that these universities have zero, because now they have the kids. They have the kids, and they're able to watch them, and they're able to stay on top of all this stuff.
So it is, when you really look at it truly objectively, and I try to be objective about this. I mean, I take the virus very, very seriously. I do recognize, though, how some of the numbers are being, how things are being manipulated by some people at times, especially from a news standpoint, because if it bleeds, it leads, and that's really more likely to get you to click, honestly. If it's really bad, scary news, you're more likely to click. I mean, that's just how it works. And so whenever we saw the 13 Texas players test positive for COVID, like, yeah, they're out and about. Memorial Day, they're out in the doing what all these kids we've been seeing have been doing anyway. Yeah, okay. When you hear that at first, it's like, holy crap, 13 tested positive. And then when you just really digest it and you think about it, like, okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, they've been out more and more asymptomatic where they don't even know it. They're not. How many of those 13 were hospitalized? Oh, none. Okay. Were they serious cases? Because if there were, you know, that's a big concern too, just for people's health. But just because they tested positive coming in, you start to realize, well, yeah, but the only thing that matters moving forward with sports is how they test in this environment with other athletes. Well, that was a concern. When U of H shut it down, they needed to.
That isn't even I don't even think that's the thing. It's exactly what you said. How dangerous is it? I mean, look at the difference what we think of it now and what we used to think of it.
Yeah, like, but testing
like Nick Sciarra. I don't even want to be around someone that tested positive, even if they're better now, even if they don't test positive anymore. It's like you were some kind of a zombie at first. Well, and now it's like, oh, tested positive. Well, and what? You tested positive, so you were sick for a little bit. Unless you're really, really, unless these kids are getting really, really sick, which they're not, or they're transferring it to older people. But when you test positive at one of these places, they quarantine you. So you can't go out and spread it. So they're making sure they're staying on top of it. If you're a kid and you test positive, I don't know, maybe I'll go out, maybe I won't,
well,
I don't know.
You're
but you're
they,
not doing that.
Well, let's just, to be fair, we don't know that they're locking you in somebody. There's an armed guard in front of you.
No, but you're
like, they say you're quarantined. If you go out, you still can screw the thing up. But my whole point was, testing on the way in is really, it's something to It's a headline.
Yeah.
17 test positive. What? Clemson had 17 test positive when they just came in to start their practices? Oh no. That's how I was like, 17? Holy crap. But then when you really just start to use logic and not emotion, you say, okay, well yeah, that's on the way in where they've been out there, whatever they've done.
Right.
But the main thing is, how do they test when they're in the facility and in the program?
Well, here's the thing is Clemson was testing tests. Clemson had 39 positive tests well into it.
Because
they were getting
more and more yeah.
because the guys were spreading it to each other. But by the way, again, were any of them in danger in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know. And the other thing is,
depending on who you are and how you feel about this, some people say it's not so important about the 18 to 22-year-old athlete who was more than likely 98, whatever the number is, to recover. It's who are they going home to?
That's
who are
right.
they talking to? When they go see grandma, for people who are erring on the side of caution, that is who they're more concerned about.
But again, to that respect, Clemson said, you've got to stay here. Okay, they don't have an armed guard out there. But if they let them go, if that kid won't stay in that room when he tests positive at Clemson, then how in the world are you going to keep him if you say, all right, go home and you got to stay home from his grandparents? Or if the kid's irresponsible, the kid's irresponsible.
Yeah, well, the thought is kids are irresponsible.
But again, kids are going to catch it. Kids have caught it all over the place, and they're spreading it. But if you know, if you're being tested, how many kids are out in the community right now catching it and haven't been tested and are asymptomatic? When you're at Clemson, at the university, and you're playing football, you're getting tested, and you're finding out that you do have it. Then you can find out that I do have to quarantine. But out in the public, you're not. No, That's the problem with this thing is there's probably 10 times as many people that have had it than we know of.
I'm not arguing what is safer for the entire public is to have athletes in a certain – get tested and be aware. Being aware certainly helps. I just know the arguments that will go back and forth throughout the football season, if we have one, will be about, well, what if the kid does this? What if the kid does that? Because we know you can't trust a college kid to listen at all times.
Ever.
That's the people who are very cautious about this, and that's one of their thoughts. Mm-hmm. Can we trust these kids to do what they're supposed
to? That's the concern is
Gus listened to us the other day. He says, it only took Lance 3 months to go from daily death count to let's really look at the numbers.
Well, no, I'm aware of that. Look, I have somebody who is in an uncle who is on a ventilator now. I'm not one of these guys like, no, it's not that. Just if you're old, you can die. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole crew out there like, hey, you know, 70, you lived a good life. You should go.
No, obviously. But
there's people who are way too cavalier about that. I'm not cavalier. I take that very seriously. And so so Gus is wrong on that count. What I'm saying is I look at as more information has come out, I understand that there are headline writers now who are going to their job is getting clicks. And they, let me tell you, if it's, hey, vaccine, one thing I've noticed that's been very disappointing, especially on Twitter, is when vaccine information comes out that's been positive all along the way, like good news, like, oh, 60 likes, 6 retweets. If it's anything that's like, this is the 40th, I'm to the point now where when there's new headline, I don't know if you guys are like this, when I see something, the 4 millionth person is now contracting. I'm like, oh, I mean.
What does that mean?
The number, I don't.
What does that mean?
I just care about how hospital beds are. I don't care what the number is that have had it anymore.
Listen, I just read headlines anyway. I don't have to bother with the stories.
You've proven that earlier today.
I proved it all the time. I prove it every time we read News of the Weird. 828 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Craig DeSurf.
Craig DeSurf is, I got to see Craig DeSurf just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Went down, and business is going really well for them. They're starting to get new vehicles, and that is a really big deal in the car industry because they had such a shutdown for so long in terms of the production of vehicles. He's got new GMCs coming in, new Buicks. They've got Select, and it's most of the SUVs and crossover vehicles from Buick, and the same thing for the crossover vehicles, which we call SUVs as well. On the GMC side, have employee pricing. And employee pricing happens a couple times every year. You hear it, you think it's a gimmick, but here's the thing. I went and did all the research on this, and I was like you, thought, it's just something they say, but it really isn't. This is really your opportunity to get the same pricing that Daryl in terms of the sales team can get. It's the same pricing, and we have the ability to get those prices. When you go to Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton, I understand that it's a few more minutes because it's in Angleton, but it's going to mean a few thousand dollars in your pocket. Great trade-in values, great low prices. They have all the programs available for you. But what sets them apart more than anything else is their service and their commitment to you and to everyone in their whole community. I love speaking for Craig DeSerf and the good people over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton. To see their entire inventory in stock and learn more about them, go to LanceZCars.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about Will in there? Played a Texas Wesleyan. He was a plus two, Dell. Plus, you know what a plus two is?
As a golfer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Yeah, what does it mean? He shoots two over par consistently? What does that mean?
No, two is two over par. Two plus two means you're two under par.
Then why is it?
Because you're a two handicap if you're two over.
Okay, gotcha. I was confused because on the scorecard, it'll say plus two. That means you're two over par.
That's right.
He's not the only person who's an intern here who played college sports. You know Carlos' daughter? From the Boston Gloss.
Yeah.
Her daughter's an intern here, and she was a fencer at Stanford.
She was a fencer at Stanford.
You know, one of those programs.
She was a St. John's girl, I think. Carla's, I think they're St. John's.
And her program got cut.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
She still has her scholarship.
So all that talk we're having, she is one of the people who got hit by that.
Yeah, right. And that sucks because, you know what, I still got my scholarship, but I want a fence.
Yeah, that's what I went there. Well, Stanford, so you went there for other things, but certainly right. Fencing was a part of it too.
Right. Well, that's a shame. That sucks for those kids. That really sucks. And Will's not playing his senior year because he's got too much stuff to do academically over there. So, we're going to go out. We're going to play. Yeah, and we're going to social distance, Lance. Yes. You can social distance on the golf course. I do it every day.
So you ride in separate carts?
Yeah.
You have to?
Yeah. Yes, we ride in separate carts.
Do they give you discounts?
No. What discounts? For what?
Well, like when people, like are they charging, are golf courses charging, you know, because you usually get two to a cart. When everyone has to take a separate cart when you go out to golf, I'm talking about people who pay. Are they having to pay for separate carts?
No. They're charging you for...
Okay, that's good.
A half a cart.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so that's...
They're not charging you more.
So the buy one, get one?
Buy one, get one free? It's usually a half a cart. Everybody's got a half a cart fee. So you still have just that half a cart, only you got the whole cart to yourself.
Oh, so they only charge half a cart fees?
Well, yeah, but it's a cart fee.
Yeah, but don't you ride with your friend?
Yeah.
Not four guys don't have four carts usually for you, do you?
No. Right.
That's what I'm saying. But right now.
You do now.
You get a buy one and you're getting one. I mean, it's basically half cart fee, but it's the same price.
But you're the same price.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good that golf courses are doing that. They really have to.
They have to. You have to. Otherwise, they get shut down. They come in there and say, you're not being safe. What is going on with Daniel Snyder? Why can't he come up with a name for a football team? Is this all about the website? Is all this about the?
I bet it is.
It's got to be. Huh?
I bet he's trying to get a certain name that's been squatted that's been on.
That guy took all the names that the guy in Washington.
Look, just do like Washington Warriors dot, or he didn't have Warriors. WashingtonRedTails.org, WashingtonRedTails.net, WashingtonRedTails.TV. I remember when TV. People thought this is going to be
Washington Redtails NFL. Right? .com or something. You know, just do it something different.
I mean,
Red Tails,
I'm sure Red
NFL
Tails,
Red Tails.
I'm sure Washington Red Tails and Red Tails and any combination has been bought up by that guy.
Probably.
That professional squatter.
Didn't they have a list of all the ones he had, though?
He had five of them.
Yeah.
He had five different Red Tail ones?
Well, no, he had Red Tails.
Warriors, right?
He didn't have Warriors.
He had Red Hawks or something.
Red Hawks was another one. Yep.
And the guy and the article made it seem like the guy wasn't done, because particularly when Red Tails
Savages, because he knew Dan might try to roll to that one next.
I don't
like Dan. We can't do that. Well, I mean, what about this man? That girl, Savage. Like, not Dan.
So this year we're going to have to call him that. The Washington Football Team.
No, they'll get something before the season.
You sure?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they'll let a whole season of marketing go where they can't do anything.
Or they'll get people to buy the generic name shirts and hats, and then they'll just do this all over again.
I mean, I guess it's possible. I don't think that
would it be a collector's item? They have the Washington football team stuff.
Actually, it would be a collector's item. I'm trying to think from like a sneaker culture standpoint. That's one of those things that actually would have more value.
Yeah, a blank Chase Young jersey that maybe just has Washington on and no logos. That stuff will, I mean, I don't know how much it, people will buy it. People buy everything.
What if they just called themselves Dub Nation because of the W? They call themselves Dub Nation just to watch those crybaby Golden State Warrior fans lose their minds.
Come out to play.
It's just like whenever Seattle tried to steal the 12th man. And Seattle said, we're the 12th man. And the Aggies said, we've had the 12th man. We've been the 12th man like since the 30s. What are you going to talk about 12th man?
You know, the last time we won a title. Wow.
But that was an aggressive move. Seattle said, oh, really? We're suing you. No. Wait, what?
And we've been loud and proud for going on eight years now. And have you seen the Seattle proud? Sounders?
Loud and proud?
Well, I got to admit, though, they're new.
Seattle Krakens.
The Krakens.
I like
tight.
It.
I do, too. I'd like to, even in this time where everyone looks to be, like, cynical, the Seattle Kraken is pretty tight.
I think that's it was with Joel and Charlie. Somebody said, yeah, but guess what they're going to call the stadium? The Crack House.
And?
I mean.
And? Danny, I love
why
it.
You just call it the Trap. Well, that's all it is. You just call the nickname is just going to be the
Well,
trap.
That's what you want. But other people are going to the Crack House. That's what you're going to call it.
That stadium is very green, very Seattle. Like, it's all renewable energy type stuff. It's the greenest stadium in all of, like, professional or all of sports, really. It's like, I mean, I don't have the specs in front of me, but the story was it'll be the least carbon print stadium of all time. Mm-hmm. They're doing all these things to make sure it doesn't leave that type of footprint. But Seattle Kraken, 32nd NHL team. I think I got a new team to root for. Just because I'm saying, you know what I'm gonna, you know what, you can't enter the Crack House and leave alive.
Yeah, I love that. That's ballsy to put your team the Kraken.
You know what it started? Where the Krakens?
No. No idea.
The beginning of it is Scandinavian folklore.
Loch Ness.
Yeah,
the Kraken has been the focus of many superstitious
sayings. Isn't there a whiskey that's the Kraken that uses the Kraken? Yeah.
Yeah, passing the North Atlantic and especially sailors from the Nordic countries due to their proximity and its Scandinavian origin is what it is.
Yeah, it also has some Greek origins, Greek mythology origins as well. Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like the name.
I did, too. I like it, too. I think that's a pretty good name. They could have been what if they had just named themselves the Washington Seattles or the Seattle Washingtons, Washingtonians, like that.
The Seattle Hockey Team? The Seattle Hockey Team?
Houston, Texas?
Aren't we getting rid of Washington?
No, Seattle Washingtonians.
So Washington is aren't we getting rid of Virginia? Aren't we getting rid of?
No.
Oh, we're getting
Seattle.
Rid of.
Seattle Washingtonians is very similar to Houston Texans.
Right.
You have pride. It's really a colorful name.
What, and let's look at
the
Seattle.
We're canceling Washington.
Their nickname. What's the logo you think of when you think of Seattle? Because we could put that on our jerseys as opposed to the Kraken. Just like the Texans put a bull, whatever the hell they have. What do you think of when you think of Seattle? Pine trees? What is it? Rain?
Well, before
rain.
That, yeah. So you could just put raindrops drip on the helmet just because let's do everything the Texans do because that seems to work out fine.
Yeah, that'd be good. Whatever Washington's known for.
Apples?
Apples.
It has to be apples.
Apples. You just throw an apple on there.
We love Washington and playing hockey and ram.
You know every Seattle time does he know every time he sings something has to get played? Why does he do this?
I know. We need Eddie Vedder. We need, well, it kind of grungy thing. Maybe have Eddie Vedder come up there and sing something. Yeah, a lot of lead singers have died from the grunge.
Yeah, I mean, we can't play this.
Eddie Vedder is a Cubs guy. Yeah. I know, he ain't seeing no Seattle stuff.
So that's what I'm trying to think. Like, well, Cobain is.
Who's
is Dave Grohl from Seattle?
You got Grohl. You could do Grohl. Well, I mean, he's locked in to Nirvana. So I don't know if Dave Grohl's from there, but that's where the movement was. You got, let's see.
No, he's
Chris
from Ohio.
Cornell, done. Lane from Alice in Chains, done. Kurt Cobain, done.
No.
Like it was not a good run for the grunge lead singers. Also, Stone Temple Pilots.
Scott Weiland.
Scott Weiland is not here anymore.
He's no longer with us.
Jimi Hendrix was from Seattle.
Was clearly, Jimmy from Seattle?
That's what it says. Sir Mix-a-Lot, isn't he dead? Is he dead too?
What? Mix isn't dead.
No, he's still alive. Yeah. Yeah, these are all the...
You could have Sir Mix-a-Lot coming out and singing
Macklemore.
Whatever their first song is.
It'll be Macklemore, right?
Macklemore's the answer.
I would rather hear from Hart, to be honest with you, than Macklemore.
Is that where
Seattle Ventus?
Ventus.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, Venti? For like Ventis. Coffee?
Oh, Ventis.
Oh,
that's
Ventis.
What it is. Coffee, yeah.
Ventis, yeah.
I just like Apple. It's non-threatening. It's something that's non-binary.
The apples?
I like it.
The Seattle apples?
Yeah, it's kind of a... It's non-cis. It's like a lot of different.
Did you just say non-cis?
Yeah, it defines like it's non-binary. It's like got a lot of different things. It could be a fruit. It could be a vegetable.
No, the apple's a fruit.
Well, how about Apple Jacks?
But that's Kellogg. They have to get that from Kellogg, right? Yeah.
But the apples. No one fears an apple.
We're talking about Kraken. Dangerous. Looking for dangerous stuff in today's day. Oh, you want to get a dangerous, scary Native American, you know, with a hatchet or something. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
No. How about this? An apple. It's healthy. It's nutritious.
Keeps the doctor away.
It's sustainable.
Well,
because it grows itself.
Only if the McNairs owned them. That's what would happen.
Seattle apples.
Can
safe nothing, and nutritious.
Anything
can
that is
imagine?
Safe and is not going to offend anyone. You're right.
Legion of Boom was a little offensive because they tried to hurt and maim people with some of their hits. Cam Chancellor was what I like to call a very aggressive player.
Can you imagine? If the McNairs did own a Seattle franchise, they would definitely call them the Apples.
The Apples.
Apple reference.
No question.
We've got to give a hat tip to our staple crop of Washington. Like, oh, no.
843.
The sauce. Let's make our football apple stadium sauce. Called the sauce for applesauce. Like,
oh. Yeah. Is there anything worse than applesauce?
Not if you're an adult.
No. All right. 843 ESPN 975-7378-0-3776.
If you're old, you love applesauce.
No, blah.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 975.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Opening day, baby. We got to play some.
Yeah.
All systems go, though. I mean, you're coming back with other music instead of All Systems Go, which is a huge mistake on your part.
Says you.
No.
I remember playing All Systems Go during game seven, and that didn't work out. So,
what didn't work out because of AJ?
Well,
8 outs to go, he sucked.
Did it work out though when they won a championship in 17?
Well, I go by most recent.
Oh, really?
Stuff, and it didn't work out. So I'm a little gun shy.
How about the Washington Swamp is a name? I think they're getting it. Oh yeah, for that yeah, the Washington Swamp would be interesting. The Washington Gridlock. The Washington polarization, I think, is something that could maybe have some legs.
I think the Washington Trumps.
What did you? I don't see that happening. What did you think of So what did you say about Brooke Shields earlier? I just want you to revisit that so I can read this tweet.
What did I say about Brooke Shields?
Yeah, about her and Andre Agassi.
Oh, well, she was she ruined his life.
Yeah.
Ruined his career.
Well, Tom makes a point, an interesting point that I hadn't really considered. I'm not sure if I'm buying in all the way on this, but he does make a point. Michael Jackson was normal until he dated Brooke Shields. Then he went off the deep end. Maybe it's not all women. Mm. Maybe it's just Brooke Shields.
Mm.
So what he said, just to break down his tweet, he said Michael Jackson was normal. That was the first. Let me just break it down into parts. Michael Jackson was normal, period. And then we go, Michael Jackson was normal until he dated Brooke Shields. So there's something about him dating Brooke Shields.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next phrase is that he went off the deep end. Okay. There's some things that you could probably point to on that front. Maybe it's not all women, is what Tom's saying, that all women do this. I don't know that we said that on the show.
So maybe one of us did.
Maybe it's just Brooke Shields.
Women are dangerous. Somebody said that. I heard that.
Somebody. I don't know.
I'm
looking at Mike with Brooke Shields, and he's already lighter than he was as a youngster.
Well, hold on. Wasn't he? So Michael Jackson did something in 1984, maybe 85, that was unprecedented. That has never been. I think it's 84. That has never been done. And granted, I know this is gonna, like, in hindsight, it's gonna look weird, but he came to the, not the Emmys, but the Grammys
with
Webster.
Yeah,
holding
in tow,
Webster around.
In tow.
Like, hey, everybody, look at me. This is my Webster.
Hey, everybody, look
at me. Diana Ross.
And Liz Taylor.
Oh, Liz Taylor,
he
that's right.
Liz Taylor and Webster rolling with him. He was trying to say something then, I think, but he had Liz Taylor and Webster. I haven't forgotten because I remember saying, whoa, he's got Webster with him. Like, me as a being younger, I just was all excited about, he's got Webster. That's not normal. Michael Jackson was wearing a glove. Just think about the things. He owned the Elephant Man's bones. He had a glove, just one glove with sequins on it. He's carrying around Webster at the Grammys. You can find a picture of it. By the way, when all this stuff with the child indecency with Michael Jackson came out and all that stuff, don't for one second think that I didn't think about, hey, I remember Webster. Why is Emmanuel Lewis not talking at all these days? Emmanuel Lewis is staying real quiet. There's nothing come out from Emmanuel Lewis.
I heard that story. I just find it hard to believe that Michael Jackson was ever really interested in Brooke Shields. I mean, really?
No,
what do you mean? He is a man with multiple children. Hey, what are you saying?
Yeah.
He dated Elvis. Or, no, I'm sorry. He married Elvis Presley's daughter. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's
Lisa
right.
Marie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't. I kind
of
think that was.
He's
kind
of, a father of three children, John. I'm not sure what you're implying. All I know is, all I see him with is beautiful Hollywood people.
Mm.
Brooke Shields, see? Lisa Marie, and Webster.
Mm.
This is really. Oh,
and
yeah,
Webster.
Well, you know what?
Here's you just include picture. Webster in that.
Yeah, you heard me. I wasn't stuttering.
He's holding Webster here like a baby. Now you know Webster's like 11 in this picture, right? Emmanuel Lewis is about 10 here. He's holding him like a little kid, and there's Brooke Shields, and she's got his. Her arm or inside of Michael's arm.
Why is he sitting on his lap?
He's got a...
Like, he's with Emmanuel Lewis, and I think...
I mean, here's another picture. Holding Webster with the Jackson 5. With the Jacksons. Here's another picture of him.
Holding Webster.
Holding Webster.
I would call him by his real name.
He brought him up to... against Emmanuel Lewis. Here he is. Like, he went up to accept his award.
He looks like a little kid there, though.
At the American Music Awards in 1984... And he's holding him as he accepts his award like he's this little kid. This is, it was nothing.
No one said anything, huh?
No one said
no.
We all just thought, man, Michael Jackson is a great person and he cares about children a lot. He's holding Webster, which is an amazing move.
Michael Jackson.
For him. There are so many pictures of him holding Emmanuel Lewis in different times. Look, this is a different one. Holding him up like a little bit, like he's just a little toddler.
He looks younger in those pictures.
Well, he's younger,
though.
But he's still probably like
okay,
eight
so
or
nine. Okay, so that's 1984. These pictures are 84. When was Emmanuel Lewis born?
1970.
No, he wasn't.
No.
I don't know when he was born.
No, it was after 70.
71. I wasn't that far
okay,
off.
Okay, so
he was
13 years old. Michael Jackson's holding a 13-year-old like a toddler in nine different places.
He's sitting
so
on
far
his lap in another picture.
I'm telling you. The whole here's another one with him, and he's just, hey, everybody, it's me.
Just with Michael Jackson.
I don't want to even think about what Michael Jackson did with Emmanuel Lewis.
It's not Webster. Stop calling him Webster.
There's another one that he's holding him like, you know, when people hold the babies in their front, what are those things called where the babies sit in your backpack?
A Bjorn?
A front backpack.
Yeah, I think a Bjorn. I just knew you would know that.
Is that what it's called?
Because I'm cultured. Thank you.
Yeah, it's called a Bjorn. I just knew he would know it and you wouldn't.
I had no idea what that was called.
Look at this picture. Michael Jackson's just Bjorning Webster.
Yeah.
And you know what we thought? Totally normal. None of us had any. I blame our parents who are now boomers. So maybe boomers are going to catch more crap. Why did y'all think this was okay? I didn't know better. I just thought Michael Jackson was great. Why was he allowed to Bjorn Emmanuel Lewis?
A teenager.
At multiple events with one sequin glove on. And with Elephant Man and Liz Taylor and Brooke Shields. No one thought this was weird ever.
You know, I think we all know why he got away with it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Bro, if you didn't know, seriously, just go ahead and type in it. You can just do Webster if you want to.
This is why he got away with it.
Why?
Because he was Michael Jackson.
Because he's bad?
And the Thriller album?
Yeah.
That's why he got away with it.
He got away with it. I caught my mom watching, so. In the one that was in the event that he had, this is the seminal Michael Jackson moment when he was at in Harlem at the Apollo where Michael Jackson did the Billie Jean video and everyone's going crazy. It's at the Apollo. He's got the black hat where he throws it off stage. He's doing it's the whole Billie Jean. He does a live performance. And in that, and we were recording that at my house on the VCR. And then he moonwalks in it. Right? Two different times in the song. It's iconic. It's one of the most iconic Michael Jackson moments ever. I go up to bed. Remember, I'm in whatever junior high. I go up to bed. I come down at one point, and my mom is re-watching the Michael Jackson performance. That's how different Michael Jackson was. You had parents. That's why no one said anything when he's holding a 13-year-old like a toddler at multiple events. It's just like, hey, did you see the moonwalk? How does he defy gravity like that? This guy's got to be a good person. He can moonwalk.
Why is it okay that in Jeffrey Epstein has to suicide himself, but Mike, Mike's got away
dead.
With this?
Oh, Mike's dead too.
Yeah. Suicide himself.
Yeah,
at the hands of a doctor.
That is
Mike,
true.
Mike got.
But if
got,
Mike, okay, where would Mike be today if he was still alive?
Mike would not be in a good place.
No. Mike would be maybe in prison.
People would be, I don't know about prison, but people would be analyzing.
Why? How about kids coming forward?
Well, kids did come forward, and then they got shouted down really quickly. Like that Wade
Robinson. Yeah, Bill Cosby wasn't okay for Bill Cosby.
I'm talking about recently.
In this day and age.
I'm talking about recently. Wade Robson, they did that documentary with Oprah was behind it, and people just picked their stories apart like, nah, we don't believe you.
Well, that's because you got people who just are never going to. It's just like
but
R. Kelly.
We'll see how it work out in a court of law, though.
I don't know. Did those people try to sue Mike? And I don't know if they're winning any money. I don't know. But I would imagine if you can't get the guy himself, you're going to go after his estate because of what he did or did not do to you. And I haven't heard of them. I haven't heard any lawsuits that Mike has lost or that estate has lost.
My God. Who just sent this picture? I'm in a rabbit hole now. That's Jackie just sent this. Michael Jackson gave Webster a baby bottle of juice. He is 13 in this picture, and Michael's got his own baby bottle. Look, this is a baby bottle. You see this?
Well, the two of them laying in bed together.
Laying in bed with two bottles.
Yeah, that's troubling.
And I'm telling you, Emmanuel Lewis, when all this stuff started breaking, all these documentaries, this is what he's doing. he's the Homer Simpson into the bushes.
Yeah. 856 ESPN 97.5.
I got a feeling this Emmanuel Lewis rabbit hole is not going to be something that's going to be good for a Michael Jackson fan. And I was a huge Michael Jackson fan.
I got a feeling that I'm a huge Champion fan. And if you're looking for a great way to save money every single month, I mean, just stop paying more than you have to. Everybody's home all day. You got to have the air conditioning all the way up. It's just ridiculous. What I need you to do is go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560, and find for yourself the best rates you're going to. even if it's not the best rate, you're still spending less money. It's the way this thing works. The other places are trying to lure you in with a lower rate, nights and weekends free, all this other crap, and then they fee you to death. What you need is Champion Energy, and you will see, my friends, that it is going to save you money every single month. Champion.energy/1560.
Well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.